Oh my God, I'm doing it. I'm on time. Yay, I can see it. I can see the clock starting. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Black Girl Charmed. I'm your co-host Ray, joined by my co-host
Janelle.
So, what have you been watching this week, ma'am?
Nothing. I have been in a 35-hour long training this week, so the only thing that I have been watching is CNN, that training book, and the back of my eyelids.
When you put The Gentleman in, like, the note, was that the movie or?
Oh, I did watch The Gentleman. So I watched The Gentleman right before I left to head to the hotel for training, which was a really good movie. Okay. I mean, but you know I love Guy Ritchie, so.
I love that movie so much. I am so mad it didn't do well in theaters.
I never heard of it. I thought it was a made-to-Netflix movie.
No. It was on Showtime for the longest time. It's one of those movies that I can put on no matter what point of the movie it's in and just enjoy.
It was really good.
You know, it got Jeremy Strong from Succession. It got our Matthew McConaughey. It got our Boo. You know, we're good. This week I watched, well, Monday I watched 101 Places to Party Before You Die. Okay. It's on HBO Max. It has John Gabris from Guy Code. Yeah, he's always on like somebody's podcast and he's obviously a comedian, but most people know him from Guy Code. And Adam Pally, I fell in love with him on, wow, why am I blanking on a name now? Happy Endings. But he was also on the Mindy Project, but I didn't watch it, so I can't really say anything. But I love me some Adam Pally. Yeah, that's the joy. Well, Spike is on pause because they're doing a UPN episode, and I want to watch that with Joe. So we're waiting for that, yeah. And we'll also have to watch the Snowfall series finale. But other than that, there's that. Jumping right into this episode, this is season 2, episode 18, Chick Flick. The original air date is 4/20/2000. The writers are Chris and Zach. And our director is Michael Schultz. He's our first Black director.
Okay. I did like the directing of the episode, but that's about it.
So, he has 2 charm directorial credits, this episode and the season 4 premiere, which is actually a really good episode.
Okay.
Yeah. But he has 114 total credits overall, including the Black Wonder Years, shout out to Psych, Gilmore Girls, City of Angels, a Blair Underwood-led hospital drama.
I feel like that got canceled mad quick. I feel like I remember it.
Definitely did. And I was like, wow. You're taking me back. And I was like, maybe you remember this a little bit more than I did. But I do remember this show.
Very briefly. It only lasted 2 seasons. Okay. Viola Davis was in it.
Yeah, it had a lot of people in it. Oh my gosh.
Yep.
My headphones fell out. Sorry about that. Anyway, our guest stars this week are Chris Payne Gilbert, who played Billy with 48 acting credits, including 90210, Law and Order, and Sex and the City. Mark Lindsay Chapman, like, why do these men have like 3 names? I hate it. He played Finley Beck. He has 55 acting credits, including Nash Bridges, Days of Our Lives, and The Young and the Restless. Olivia Summers played Bloody Mary. She has 59 stunt credits and 9 acting credits, including Weed, CSI, New York, and Criminal Minds. Lindsay Lawton played Sally Mae. She has 5 acting credits, Charm being the most notable. J.P. Romano played The Slasher, with 131 stunt credits and 23 acting credits, including Walker, Texas Ranger, Alias, and my personal favorite, Life in Pieces. Robin Akin Downs, another man with 3 names, played the Demon of Illusion with 427 acting credits, including Nass Bridges, 90210, and Arliss. This is the last time we will be seeing Kevin Falcon, Prue's boss. And trivia this week. Leo says the demon is in San Francisco to make his treat. This is a play on a Rice-A-Roni commercial, the San Francisco treat.
Uh-huh.
The references the movie Psycho, and Piper is hiding in the shower, even stating she's hiding from psychos in the shower. The girls mention that they previously vanquished a bunny and a demon with a horn growing from his forehead, which makes sense. We've seen them. Like last week, Piper was complaining about her Tims being destroyed by an unseen demon.
Mm-hmm.
This episode marks the second time Prue uses her power to enhance her strength. The first time being in She's a Man, baby. A man. And Piper maybe possibly broke the fourth wall in this episode. As she says, don't we start someplace dark and dreary and then end up in a manor for the big vanquish, referencing the show's basic plot lines for episodes. And that's it for trivia. What are your initial thoughts?
It was a very basic episode. There's really nothing to, I guess, to like or to dislike. It was a filler episode.
Indeed. It had a really good, like you said earlier, like in doing the pre-pro, I was like, oh, a black man did this. It's going to be good. And directorially, all right, I guess, you know, I see mm-hmm. it. I see the vision. But again, like his next appearance is the season 4 premiere, which is, you know, the introduction of Paige and everything. Mm-hmm. And it's one of my favorite Piper episodes, you know. Phoebe, yeah,
Piper
and her man.
The grief.
Yeah. And like, I feel like a good director can do that. So the Peacock synopsis is, a demon brings villains out of horror movies and sends them to kill the witches. You know? Not wrong. The IMDb synopsis is, a demon emancipates celluloid monsters from the confines of the silver screen to kill Phoebe, Piper, and Prue. You didn't have to do this. This wasn't an Oscar-winning or an Emmy-winning mm-mm. episode. You didn't have to write this.
And when I think of celluloid, I think of, like, disfigured, not film. It didn't go with it.
Yeah, it didn't work.
I understand why they use celluloid, but no.
It works scientifically, but like...
yeah.
For the story, for the plot, for what we got, not really.
Right.
And last but not least, the Halliwell sisters battle a demon who is bringing horror film characters to life and has called upon a knife-wielding corpse to kill them. And it's... not even 10 minutes in, and we're about to start the episode because she's been in training all week and I have a migraine. So I'm pretty sure next week, hopefully, maybe we'll be our better selves. But until then, enjoy this rushed episode.
So I texted you and I was like, I actually had to pause the episode because I was over it. Piper is watching Dan coming home by himself, and Prue is making fun of her and taking pictures of her, and she's teasing her about looking out the window, and Piper's like, she just feels guilty about the entire situation, and I just feel like you just need to stand 10 toes down. I'm over it.
She don't feel guilty. She feel guilty about missing out on all that jewelry. That's it at this point, because girl, you stupid.
You're right. We find out that Leo is in town and that they have a real date. By real date, does that mean he's paying for it? Is the elders,
you know,
giving him an
they
allowance?
Very clearly skipped over that because, to the best of my knowledge, this broke boy gets his allowance from Piper. But okay.
So Phoebe comes home and we find out that she just came back from watching horror movies, and she watched a movie that was called Kill It Before It Dies. And when she was a teenager, she really loved the protagonist, Billy, because she always felt like that would be the perfect man for her. And they joke around about whether or not it was like research for a class. And she's like, no, it's research for me. I was like, okay. I feel like Phoebe has two things on her mind: being a witch, finding penis. Like, that is her goal.
Right. And in this episode, we see it. Cause girl.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. She would do really well, like, as a 1950s housewife. Just focus on that, and she would be good.
And we do see that in like future mm-hmm. episodes. So, mm-hmm. you know. Foreshadowing.
So the doorbell rings and Phoebe goes to get it, and she gets flung across the room by a demon, and he goes to basically, they fighting, whooping ass. The grandfather clock again is a victim of the brutality that happens in the Hallowell Manor, and then the demon gets up and he runs out. So before this happens, I do want to state that Piper has left the scene because she's going to get ready for her date, her co-mingle with Leo, because we know he's not paying for it.
And you know what? He told them elders, yo, just give me a call. Like, would you finally show up? Ching-a-ling-a-ling. Beat me.
Definitely did.
You want to reach me.
Definitely did. Prue and Phoebe go down and chase the demon after he runs out the house, and they chase him back to the theater that Phoebe was just in, where she went to go watch Kill It Before It Dies. So they're not the only one in the theater. There's only one other person watching.
I just want to say that these hoes give zero fucks about exposing magic.
Right,
this
right.
This entire
right.
season, all mm-hmm. they have done is mm-hmm. expose magic. Even after being tortured about exposing magic, they continue to expose magic. Mm-hmm. And
mm-hmm. yep, yep. I also put that Phoebe spells kind of suck. Like, they don't sound like powerful. They definitely sound like, oh crap, I don't have an active power, so I need to do something. Like, they don't sound like a Rowena spell, right?
Wow, not a Rowena spell. But like, what's funny is I literally saw a TikTok today where it's like, once Phoebe realized that you can make your own spells, she was like, I'm gonna make these spells, baby. I'm gonna do it. Right. And I feel like at this point, you know when you get good at something, so you get lazy at it?
Yes. But did she ever get good at it?
Or plot twist, she's on the spectrum and this is one of her hobbies.
You know, that would explain so much.
Right?
That explains a lot. So they do a spell in front of this theater patron and the demon seems to disappear. The theater patron is just like, oh my God, this is not what I paid for, but this is great. This is the best thing that's ever happened. So Prue gets Phoebe out of the theater before Billy comes on screen. But because they're doing that, they don't notice that the demon didn't actually get vanquished. He just reappears on the screen.
And they over here tapping themselves on the shoulder, like, oh, we did it, baby. We did it, right. Joe. And also, they weren't that far out the theater when this man was talking about his plan, talking about, ha, 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 you think you got rid of me. Y'all didn't hear that? Y'all didn't hear that? Okay, cool. Let's continue.
So we're back at the mansion, and the girls are cleaning up after the attack. And like, Piper's asking the right questions. She's like, this don't typically seem to happen this way. We fight the demons in some place that's dark and dreary. They chase us back to the house and then we vanquish them. So I don't necessarily know if you guys vanquish them or not. And Phoebe's convinced that she's done it. She realizes that, yes, the dark and dreary part was a theater, and she remembers seeing the demon from the movie. There happens to be like a voicemail, and Piper realizes that she's now late for her date with Leo. So she gets dressed and she rushes out. She gets there and she automatically starts talking about like what's happening. And she's like, no, 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 no. We can't talk about work. We can't do that. And they like restart the date. And Leo's just there like, I don't have to pay for this. This is great. I can be a white lighter and I can be somebody that's like fully covered. I got the best of both worlds. Like,
you know what? And he was like, I ordered something because I was hungry waiting for your ass.
Right? He was like, well, I know somebody paying for this.
And it's not going to be me. It's not going to... first of all, white lighters don't need to eat. He just be taking the meals because he's gluttonous. He's one of those people. Oh my God. You know, I'm not going to say that because that was getting dangerously into something problematic. So I stopped myself. Woo! Anyway.
Okay.
So Piper then is like, oh my God, this don't got no seasoning. This don't got no salt. Tap that man and ask him for his salt. Who is that man? That man is Dan. And who is Dan with? Some shawty that worked with Piper. And she like, damn, bitch.
She works with Dan because she was like, Amelia, your co-worker, just a co-worker, Amelia. And I was like, oh, don't be a salty bitch, because when Dan said the same thing about Leo, it was, you know, don't what? Worry about Leo. But was Dan then projecting?
As a Reform City girl, you know it always stings when it's the one you had your eye on. Like, I told you that bitch was trying to fuck you. And now all of a sudden y'all fucking? All right. I got you, Dan. I got you. I guess she got jewelry too.
What I'm saying. Like, was Dan projecting? Like, was he so focused on Leo? Leo is, you know, I know he's up to no good. I know he don't want to just be a friend, because he knew Amelia just didn't want to be a friend. He benched Amelia.
You know what? As this man would say, I know how men think. So I'm just saying, Leo want to be. I know what men be thinking. I'm a man. I know men. All right. You've heard that shit too. Mm-hmm. It's so annoying.
So an accordion player starts to play. She gets frustrated and she freezes everybody, takes a deep breath, then unfreezes Leo. And she wants to like do a toast with just obviously just kind of them in the room. And that's when the elders are like, jingling-a-ling, jingling-a-ling, it's time for you to go. All
right. We let y'all have this a little fun right now. But she over here exposing magic for personal gain. Get your ass out of here. You see, I gave y'all asses an inch and y'all take a yard. Take your ass home, Leroy.
She was just like, I wanted the night to be perfect. And he goes, but it was, because I was with you. Suck, and then he goes to all the way.
Dick. Yo, Leo is a fuck boy. How he leave this bitch with the bill consistently?
She's used to it. He goes to Orb away and she's just like, can you at least give me this and give me a normal exit? So he kisses her and then he walks out. but when everybody
4,000.
Right, because when everybody unfreezes, he looked around like, bitch, I would have paid for that.
City boys up 5,000. Oh, you little broke boy. He going to the ATM. That's what he going to do. He going to check his card at the ATM. Okay.
I would have been so mad. I would have been so mad. So now we're at the magazine and Prue is with her editor and she finds out that she's going to work with Finley Beck. And I mean, she is fangirling hard.
Oh my God. This will be like the equivalent of me working with Nigel from Top Model like a few years back before like the scandal.
Oh, okay. You know who he reminds me of? So we end up meeting Finley Beck like almost immediately. Do you remember Empire Records?
Yes.
And you remember, what was that guy's name? It was like whatever his name day.
Oh. Yes.
That's who Finley Beck reminds me of.
That holiday. literally just passed because everybody on my timeline was like happy. It's like Chip Skylark or some shit.
Yes. That's what he reminded me of. He reminded me of a less pervy Chip Skylark. Yes.
I literally had to like summon and I was like, okay, you're doing a lot of scrolling. All right. Listen, yeah, I got it. Anyway.
So he's already super condescending.
It's the definition of never meet your idols. That's what it is.
That's literally what I put. Never meet your idols.
Prue was like, oh my God, I love you. You're the bomb. I have your posters on my wall. And he was like, you're five. Get the fuck out of my face.
Right. He was like, who? He was like, where is the photographer? Where is he? And I was like, oh, this is going to go.
And he asked for a man at first. And you know what? This is why organizations like Black Women Photographers exist. Because damn it, you won't get a woman to take the fucking shot. Anyway, Prue is there.
So he doesn't want Prue to take the shots in digital because he believes that digital for amateurs, and basically tells her to go run along and go get him some tea. And I was like, oh, this is a misogynistic piece of shit. Okay.
Pause. So I don't know a photographer. I know of them, but because they shoot on film, it's $17,000 for the day.
I feel like you've told me this before. And I was like, ah, that's a lot.
Yeah, so like it's I guess the stereotype is real for a reason.
I'll stick with my digital photography.
$17,000 for 10 hours of work max.
Girl, I'm about to get some AI headshots for $35 because my headshots need to be updated.
You better do the Canva hack.
We'll talk about this offline.
Yeah. Again, you see, you know what? I'm trying to get a sponsorship. Last week it was Fabletics. This week it will be Canva.
Okay. So now we're back at the manor, and Phoebe is telling Piper how boring her date was. She basically says, like, he's melatonin, and she's comparing him to the character Billy. And when we actually meet Billy, the fact that, like, this grown woman is thinking that this is the perfect man, I just feel like that's therapy. She needs therapy.
Every so often that's your man. Yep. And I'm going to stand beside him. Just pop into my head. And this is the perfect example for Phoebe. Because like, she be picking some wrong ass men and standing right beside him.
Mm-hmm. So Leo orbs in and basically is telling Piper and Phoebe about the demon of illusion, who is the promoter of violence. And they're like, well, it don't matter because we vanquished them last night. So what's the problem? He went bye-bye. And Leo's like, no.
No.
That's because not how if you had works. Vanquished him, they wouldn't have orbed me down here or jingled me out of my date last night. So clearly you didn't do what you were supposed to do.
You know what? Go to hell, Leo. Mind your fucking business.
So the sisters have to go back to the theater, and they find that this demon of illusion is now part of this movie that Phoebe had watched. And Billy is on screen, and he's flirting with Phoebe. And I was just like, really? Like, Phoebe will flirt with a fucking pet rock. Jesus Christ.
Yo, hold on. Are we referring to Billy as Rocco for the remainder of the episode? Because, bye, Rocco. Bye.
So, the demon of illusion is, first of all, he's just insulting the sisters. He's like, silly, silly Wiccans, tricks are for kids. Because the girl's powers just ain't working. So, Prue tries to, like, throw him across the movies. Screen that didn't
work. I don't
know
what her intention was for that either. I wanted to be on her side, and I was like, I can't.
And then
making this hard.
And I, guys, also want to let you know that the theater is full. Is it full of people, or is it just that one guy still?
This is the season of exposing magic. I am so mad we have to wait until like season 7 to get the cleaners, because the cleaner should have been popped up.
Piper tries to freeze him. That doesn't work either. And he has to explain, like, you guys are in reality and I am the demon of illusion. So whatever y'all are trying to do isn't going to work. But Billy, because he is so enamored with Phoebe, is like, you're not going to talk to my girl like that. Because he also definitely calls Phoebe a slut and a bitch.
And where is the lie?
I mean, you're right. You're right.
I was in somebody's comment section talking about how I wish we can say nice things about Phoebe. And they were like, people talk bad about Phoebe. Yes.
Please join us at Black Girl Charmed.
We are people. We drag Phoebe habitually.
Habitually.
Ooh. I feel like Rick James in that...
in the fuck your couch.
Anytime we talk about Phoebe, fuck your fave. Anyway.
So Billy knocks the Demon of Illusion out of the movie screen, and he also flies off the screen. So the demon escapes, but before he escapes, he's like, thanks for the inspiration. And the girls, like, they're not the brightest bulbs in the box. Y'all aren't concerned that he says thanks for the inspiration.
No.
And y'all don't turn to each other and it's like, we might have a problem, because he then runs away.
No.
And Billy is still here in black and white.
Piper want to have a real date with Leo, the brokey. Prue's dreams have been shattered by meeting her fave. And Phoebe trying to fuck. The man of her dreams have hopped off the screen and is in front of her. Of course she's going to, like, be distracted about the demon. She's going to fuck.
Anything. Any and everything. So now we're in the attic. And Billy is basically talking like he's in the movie. He's having trouble understanding the world of the movie. So he's like, this is a part where somebody explains this to me. And there's like this like music that goes behind it. And so they're trying to say, you know, this isn't the movie, it's reality. And they're explaining to him everything that's happened up to this point and that they're the good guys. Because Leo then orbs in. Hi, Leo.
Boo. Okay. So Scream 3 came out in 2000. And this episode is giving me Scream vibes. Because, like, it's the whole breaking the fourth wall kind of thing that's in the Scream's whole thing. And I was like, okay. And now I'm like, 2000, okay. We see it. We see the vision.
Yeah.
It came out February 4th. 2000, 2 months later, this episode came out. Yeah, tracks.
So Billy explains that he knows who the Demon of Illusion is because the Demon of Illusion is in the movie, and that he has a tendency to make the audience angry, and then that's how he goes ahead and spreads violence. And I thought it was really cute how he explains how movies work. And at the same time, Phoebe's like, oh, he wasn't at the movie with me, he was in the movie when I was watching it. I was like, you didn't realize that at all. Okay.
It's Phoebe, the person y'all wanted to talk nice about.
I do want to say, I do like the consistency of her wearing her glasses from last week's episode.
You know,
so that was cute.
Fair.
So Prue thinks, okay, well, if he's hopped out of this horror movie, then he's probably going to other horror movies, and she's going to see what else is playing in the area. And I'm like, thank you, Prue. Thanks. Let's move this along. So Prue, Leo, and Piper are going to leave to go see what's in the area. Phoebe's going to stay behind, but that's when homie Finley Beck calls her, and he insists on seeing her now. And then he's already there. He was on the steps when he called her.
You know what?
Where'd he do that?
He's a man, and that's what he wants to do.
So, do you remember the time when somebody came to my house and I wasn't expecting them. And so I just acted like I wasn't.
You mean the time that we've all done that? Because I'm not. If I'm not expecting you, why am I answering the door?
Which is what she tries to do, but because they have stained glass windows, he was able to see that she was trying to like freeze. And she opens the door and he automatically is like, where is your dark room? And starts going through her house. This man has no cooth. None whatsoever.
A man, baby.
So Piper and Leo leave Prue behind to go deal with Mr. Beck. And he's like, she's just going to let me roam your house? I mean, you did have a point there. So the Demon of Illusion appears in this next movie. So it's Piper and Leo at the theater, and it's a Demon of Illusion in a new movie entitled The Axe Husband. Immediately you see that the Axe Husband is stabbing this girl. There's no blood or anything because Charmed is like, what, PG? So there's no blood, but he's basically stabbing this girl in front of an entire audience. So guys, I want you to keep in mind that this movie theater is packed.
So this is definitely Scream 2, because that is how Jada Pinkett dies in Scream 2. Okay.
So then the demon shows up. You are, but we love you. The demon shows up and he offers to get the title character off the screen if he definitely goes after the Charmed ones. And he's like, okay, whatever, stab, 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 stab. Let's do this. And at the same time, he like puts a cast of magic over the audience and encourages them to riot. And can I just say that the dude that fought the guy who answered the phone in the middle of a movie,
the only is every same person.
Like, he picked the right person to fight.
You're not wrong. And you remember when I went on that date and we almost fought that other couple in the movie theater?
Vaguely.
Sometimes you gotta fight in a movie theater, or at least be willing to fight in a movie theater. That's all I'm gonna say.
So now we're back at the mansion and Phoebe is turning Billy into Technicolor. So she's applying makeup on him and they're talking about the movie and he's saying that, you know, yes, you like my character, but my character has been scripted. And he's intrigued by how Phoebe lives her life basically unscripted. And they're flirting back and forth and she's like, well, you're in my world now. What do you want to do? And he takes her glasses off and he kisses her. And I was just like, really, Phoebe? Really? People are dying out there.
Kim, people are dying. The fact that North quotes that to her is like, it makes my heart happy.
It does. So after they pull away from the kiss, his lips turn back to silver. And I was like, ew, that's what happens when you don't use
a continuity error, because you actually don't see any of that makeup on Phoebe's face.
There's not. I just figured that she's a really bad kisser and was just like sucking his lips. And that's why you didn't see it.
All she does is suck his tongue and it's just lips pressed together. I'm sorry for the visual.
So the phone rings and it's Daryl, and Daryl is at the scene of the movie theater of Axe Husband. And he thanks her for the tip. Apparently they, at some point that was off scene, they called them and let them know, hey, there's something going on. People probably gonna get stabbed and died. So we find out that people have died and are injured at the theater. She tells him thank you and then immediately calls Piper and goes, you know, we have found this demon. And I was just like, y'all are useless. Like, Piper and Leo are useless.
Because all they are thinking with their loins, not with their witchy brains or their supernatural brains.
So down in the basement, Finley is still critiquing Prue's work and is being a douchebag about it. He says that the way she finishes, the way she does her work has absolutely no depth. And she, you know, retorts back, well, is it the technique or the subject? And she finally tells him off. And she says, the brilliance of your eye is completely destroyed by the ignorance of your mouth. And I loved it. That's such a beautiful. I had to rewind and write it down because that was well written.
That was the nicest way of saying, every time you open up your mouth, my pussy dries up a little bit more and more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. At the same time, Phoebe pops in, and I had to applaud this scene because she finally codes the demon talk. She doesn't do it well, but there was an effort put behind it, and I appreciate that.
You know,
just
I'm giving all honor and glory to the director.
So as they're arguing, she had like a photo underneath the light, and it begins to burn. And she goes to grab the photo, and Finley says, well, that's the thing about art, Miss Hallowell. You leave your subject under the light too long, they burn. And then he like stomps up the basement stairs, and she says something to him. And when he turns around, she takes a picture, which even then proceeds to piss him off even further. And I was like, well done, Miss Hallowell. Well done. So now we're at the theater. Piper and Leo have finally tracked them down. This movie is called Bloody Mary. And the demon of illusion pushes the title character off the screen and goes, and she immediately goes after Piper and Leo. Piper can't use her powers, and so she runs away. And the low effort that Bloody Mary takes to go after them, she like power walks.
How far is this theater from their house? Like, how far are we talking? Because in the beginning of the episode, they like jogged over there, paid their ticket, and was not even out of breath. Now this, like, is it around the corner? Is it on McDonald Avenue? Is this the Kent movie theater?
I guess in my head, what I'm thinking is that it's the same movie theater that Phoebe went to, but maybe different theater rooms. But that wouldn't make any sense, right? Because at the ex-husband, people were dead. So they probably shut that theater down. So I don't know. That's a good point, especially because of the way she just jogged out. Like, how she get back to the house so quick?
Like, what's happening here?
So we're back at the manor, and Phoebe is being absolutely useless. Phoebe and Billy are making out. An ex-husband is now in the house. He attacks Prue in the dark room, and they're fighting. Prue gets to, like, the first level, is like, hey, is anybody here? Runs upstairs into the attic, and Phoebe's like, oh my God, can I get some privacy? Like, ma'am. Man, there are demons that we are fighting. They're demons. No privacy.
This is why nobody thought about the demon of illusion. All she wanted to do was get her boot smoked by Billy. And you know it was going to be quiet missionary, so I don't even know why she was trying to stand hard.
Right. On top of that, too, she's always like, well, let's go to the Book of Shadows. Let's go to the Book of Shadows. There was no Book of Shadows. She didn't do that.
Bruh. She's a whore. Not a fun one.
So ex-husband is
Samantha Jones. I don't want it.
Ex-husband is right behind Piper. Excuse me. Ex-husband is right behind Prue. Piper then comes in downstairs. And she hears the commotion. She comes upstairs.
She's like trying to tell them what's happening to her. And then she realizes, like, ain't nobody downstairs.
Right.
And then she hears upstairs. Right. And hollering.
And she also says, because when she first burst in, I was like, Where is your man? Leo stayed behind to calm the movie patrons, and that is why she busts into the house by herself.
What he gonna do? That man is eating movie theater popcorn in the next room. He's a liar!
You know, I have to give it to Piper, because the first thing she does is she takes a big wooden fragment and stabs Axe husband and saves Billy, Prue, and Phoebe, because all of them are useless. So they're trying, so they're explaining everything that's happened. Phoebe remembers both Axe husband and Bloody Mary, and they're having this conversation with Axe husband, like, on the floor. Like, he's not, I will say dead for the better
part of it. Nobody double taps in this damn show, and it makes me mad.
Nobody people elbowed. So Axe husband stirs and they all run out, but then they run out and Bloody Mary is in the house, and Bloody Mary stabs Billy with her fake knife. That knife was so fake. But because he's also part of the movie, he's not harmed. And the sisters run away. I do like, this is my favorite scene of the entire episode, where Piper is in the shower and she's hiding and she references the fact that this is psychotic. This is psycho. And then you see the door creak open and the shadow gets larger and larger and larger. And it's Prue. I thought that was well done. It was a good play. So
we breeze past it, but my favorite scene in this episode is when Prue goes, "Hey, that's an antique, you asshole." Because she says asshole. I heard asshole. I know she stops herself, but was said.
Well, she stops herself because this is such an older movie. Billy doesn't like using curse words.
Fake ass Captain America ass motherfucker. Language. Right?
Me and Billy wouldn't have gotten along.
Billy wouldn't have got along with anybody West Indian.
Mm-mm. But, well, he probably wouldn't understand what any of that meant. He'd have been like, oh my God. First of all, Billy wouldn't.
He would have heard Ross and like, Ross? Us? No, thank you.
Mm-mm. Billy wouldn't have gotten along with anybody. You know what? That's. No, I'm not going to do it. Mm-mm. So they like, oh my God, it's you. That's great. I'm so glad it's not, you know, one of the bad guys. And then Bloody Mary jogs in, and then they run out the other way, and then they run into Phoebe.
This is the biggest the house has ever been, because since when did that bathroom have two separate entrances?
I feel like that bathroom just changes for whatever they need it to be. Like, I know there's multiple bathrooms in that house, but this one specific bathroom changes for whatever they need it to be.
Bathroom got a stand-up shower in one corner, a tub in the other corner, and a door between them.
After they run away from Bloody Mary, they run into Phoebe and Billy, and Phoebe feels like she understands exactly how to kill them. Basically, the way to kill them is the way they died in the movie. So Bloody Mary got kicked out of an attic window, and the Axe husband was electrocuted. So Phoebe and Billy run upstairs, and they're back. I feel like we've used the attic the most. Mm-hmm. The most this episode. They're back in the attic, and Bloody Mary is chasing behind them. Phoebe does her high-ass stuff and kicks Bloody Mary out of the window.
Yeah.
And she falls and disappears. I was like, that was so anticlimactic.
I mean, the film burns and she disappears. So it's like, yeah. Ooh.
Axe husband then comes into the attic, and they just happen to have an electric heater that is plugged in and turned on, and a bucket of water. So they go throw the electric heater at Axe husband, and then throw the mop, and then he electrocutes, and then the film burns away. And I was just like, that was very efficient. That was very timed well. Okay. So after all of that, the doorbell rings and they're like, what the hell is going on tonight? Which honestly was really cute because they say it's over. And she says, no, don't say that, because anytime somebody says that in a movie, and then the doorbell rings. And I thought that was cute because they were like, oh my God, what's going on? But it's Daryl. It's just Daryl. And Daryl's just letting them know people are rioting at all of these theaters. And they're like, it's the demons. And he's like, it's that D word again. It's that D word. He was over it. I feel like he be telling his wife, I'm going to the sister's house, and in 5 minutes, I need you to beat me out.
But Daryl, from like day one, he's been like, just let me know what I need to know. Don't tell me no extra shit. Mm-hmm. And every day, they like, so, what we gotta do is get some elderberry, mix it with some muck root, grind it up, and that's how you get rid of the demon of illusion.
After Daryl leaves, Billy says, which I guess he wouldn't have had a chance to because Phoebe was sucking on his tongue, but Billy happens to mention that the demon of illusion is always with them because he travels with this specific print of Kill It Before It Dies. So he knows he's going to be back tonight because this is the last time that they're going to be showing this movie in San Francisco. So they're like, all right, let's go get him. And so they're going to make a potion, which they call Phoebe's Pharmaceuticals, and that's how they're going to get him. They're going to hop into the movie. They're going to defeat him and hop back out.
I guess.
So we're at the theater. Billy, Phoebe, and Piper take the potions and go into the movie. Well, Billy just kind of goes in because it's Billy. But the girls use the potions and enter into the movie. They confront the demon of illusion. And at the same time that they're confronting the demon of illusion, Prue never makes it into the screen because that weird patron from before is now trying to attack Prue. And she's like, I can't, you know, kill you because you're innocent, but I can throw you up against the wall and knock you out. And I was like, that's the best way. So they have whooped the demon of illusion's ass. And he's like, that's all fine and dandy, but the movie's about to end and I can stay here. What y'all gonna do? I'm gonna bring this back up when it happens. But when he says that, the girls bang on the screen and they're like, oh my God, I can't get out. I can't get out. Prue, help us. Prue, help us. And this goes on for like 10 seconds. Prue, help us. Prue, help us. Prue, help us. Prue, help us. 10 seconds is long, maybe three. Prue astral projects after she's like, I don't know what to do. Like, she's like, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. And I feel like that would have been me, but you being a movie buff would have been like, oh, I need to go to the projector room and turn this shit off or pause this or something like that. I feel like you would have automatically known what to do. So Prue astral projects into the projector room. She finds the projectionist asleep. She finally finds the reverse button and she rewinds the movie. And then they take the potion and hop out the movie. But there was enough time for them to do that when he said, this is about to be the end of the movie. If you knew that you had the potion to exit the movie, why would you bang on the screen?
Because they're stupid.
Okay. Okay. So he's taunting them and he's just like, I'll be in another city, another town, another day, another dollar. What y'all girls gonna do about it? Absolutely nothing. But Prue remembers if you leave a light on a subject too long, it burns. And so she burns him using the light from the projector and he dies. And I am glad that they tell the projectionist about the fact that they burnt the film, because he says if that had happened, he would have lost his job. And I would have been very upset because these girls always have collateral damage. So now Phoebe says her goodbyes to Billy. They put their hands to the screen. I do have a point to make.
So Sally should have been like, who the fuck is this bitch?
That's what she does. So when they get to, I skipped over it, but when they get back into the theater, right? Sally Mae is basically like, who the fuck is this bitch? And she's like, you pinned me. And Billy's like, I only pinned you because that's what my character wanted to do. I would have whooped his ass. Like, you just out here with some random bitch, and now I gotta travel the world with you? Get out of here. So now we're back at the manor. Piper and Leah are making out on the sofa. The door is not closed. These girls have no sense of... Y'all have just defeated a demon. Y'all don't lock y'all doors? Nothing? I guess it don't matter. I don't know. But the door is cracked open. Dan is like, hey, your door is open. I'm here. And he comes inside. They take very little effort to, like, separate themselves. Why? From him walking.
It's in my house. We here.
You're right.
He see what you're he right. want to see. Nobody told him to show his ass in our fucking house.
You're right. You're right.
And that's Dan was Leo like, talking, oh. not Piper, because that's his house now.
You're right. That's like that episode from The Read last week. Where he only contributed $100 a month and it got the nerve to be controlling and demanding.
I blocked that letter out because me and that man would have been scrapping.
Scrapping.
You can stay
scrapping.
With your mama.
Mm-hmm. Dan had a box of stuff that was hers that he kept at his house because he thought that they were going to get back together. But clearly they're not, so you can take your shit. And Prue walks in. And there's a scene where Prue is like, hey, Dan. And he looks at her. And she looks at I can't do that. But he looks at her and she looks at him. And I just thought to myself, they make a gorgeous couple. That was Dan a pretty was on, couple.
Dan was on House of Hollywell. I sent you the video. And it was just like, even on his, like, in his off time with his salt and pepper in the beard, Dan is still fine. Mm. That man is, that's a good looking man.
That's a good looking man. Angie Harmon, you got a good looking man there. So he leaves. He's all dejected and stuff. He leaves and Phoebe comes in and all the girls are in the living room. Piper's talking about, you know, the photo and her editor says that's the best photo he's ever seen of this guy. And in celebration, Prue buys Phoebe the movie. And she goes upstairs and watched it, and it looks like she was gonna nut on herself, and I was over it. And that's how it ends.
Because she was reliving that makeout session she had with Billy, and was just like...
With all of that caked NC-25 in her mouth, I'm good.
Oh, I'm so dead. Anyway, there's no love interest chemistry. That was stupid. It no longer exists. It will not exist until season 3. Dead ass. It just won't.
I mean, well, there was Billy and Phoebe.
We got 4 episodes left in this season. The love interest chemistry does not exist. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I'm not talking about Phoebe making out with an imaginary person. That is literally like, you can if you want to, but I won't. But what we skipped, well, what I skipped in jumping into the episode was what the songs we had after the credits. So I will entertain this segment of our podcast. After the credits, I had If I Look, I See You, by Little Spitfires, excuse me. And okay. You had Bad Way by Nina Gordon.
Mm.
I guess. How would I handle the conflict in this episode? I don't know. Maybe make sure my spell do a double tap. This whole episode was a double tap. Y'all ain't double tap this demon. Y'all ain't double tap him the second time. Y'all were just so distracted with y'all regular juggler lives that y'all were like, I'm gonna phone in this vanquish.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's exactly what they did. I mean, that's you kind of summed it up. Ooh, is the next episode where Dan's like, Leo is a crazy bitch, why are you with him? This man got a whole ass wife.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I was watching that episode and Dan was about to rock his shit. And he was like, no. Cause Leo, we don't even got hands. He don't even have hands. Ooh. This bitch is stupid. I'm sorry. You chose to struggle with a brokey. With a... Sorry. I'm just remembering I taught Joe's goddaughter that word.
Oh, Lord.
And she uses it a lot. I love Abby. She's amazing. But, yeah, I guess we can just hop into rating this episode. I'm going to give it 3.5 black directors. That's the only reason why it got 3.5. This episode is so, like, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't good.
It was just
either.
Corny. It was corny.
It was just, it was an ode to Scream, I guess, and I'll take that. But I watched this episode, like, twice today. Soon as we say our tagline, anything about this episode, straight out of my brain.
Okay, I give it 4 studio fix concealers.
3.5 whack ass kisses. But yeah, hopefully next week, guys, we both feel better. My left eye doesn't feel like it's doing the willy bounce. So, but, you know, Dan and Leo are fighting next week's episode. So I'm here for it. And actually, I started watching it a little bit because Peacock just auto plays. And I'm going to have good feelings about this episode.
Okay.
Yeah. So until then. Some witches be hoes. Blessed be.
You know, I feel like for the rest of the season, it just needs to be some witches be broke. Because why? Just why?
She chose poverty. She chose it.
That's what I'm saying. Some witches be broke.
Some witches be dumb, yo. Like, that's what it is. Some witches be fucking dumb and dickmatized. Because ain't no fucking way. There's absolutely no way I'm giving up Dan to struggle with Leo. Leo don't even got that much hair. Them shits is gonna be receding real quick. And white lighter, he got his hair now in real life. But you know, a life as a white lighter be hard on the edges.
We are never getting them on this podcast. Ever. Ever. Ever.
Well, we'll be on theirs.
They go listen to one episode. They be like, she said you ain't got no hairline. She said you got plugs now.
No. He definitely isn't pulling the Gilmore Girls. But damn, that was shady too. Damn, I love.
Yeah, see, I'm just gonna end it. I'm ending it. Goodbye.
And that's how you end it.